Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
First reading is a reading from Job. Oh, that my words were written down. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book. Oh, that with an iron pen and with lead they were engraved on a rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and that at the last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been thus destroyed, then in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see on my side, and my eyes shall behold and not another. Word of God, word of life. Let us read the psalm responsively. Hear a just cause, O Lord, give heed to my cry. Listen to my prayer, which does not come from lying lips. Examine my heart, visit me by night. Melt me down, and you will find no impurity in me. My footsteps hold fast to your well-worn path, and my feet do not slip.
I call on you, O God, for you will answer me. Incline your ears to me and hear my words.
Show me your marvelous loving kindness, O Savior of those who take refuge at your right hand from those who rise against them. From the wicked who assault me, from my deadly enemies who surround me. Second reading, a reading from 2 Thessalonians. As to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to him, we beg you, siblings, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as though from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord is already here. Let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first, and the lawless one is revealed, the one destined for destruction. He opposes and exalts himself above every so-called god or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, declaring himself to be God. Do you not remember that I told you these things when I was still with you? But we must always give thanks to God for you, brothers and sisters, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and through belief in the truth. For this purpose, he called you through our proclamation of the good news, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, siblings, stand firm and hold fast to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by word of mouth or by our letter. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and through grace gave us eternal comfort and good hope, comfort your hearts and strengthen them in every good work and deed. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Some Sadducees, those who say there is no resurrection, came to Jesus and asked him a question. Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, leaving a wife with no children, the man shall marry the widow and raise up children for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first married and died childless. Then the second and the third married her. And so in the same way, all seven died childless. Finally, the woman also died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife will the woman be? For the seven had married her. Jesus said to them, those who belong to this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy of a place in that age and in the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. Indeed, they cannot die anymore because they are like angels and are children of God, being children of the resurrection. And the fact that the dead are raised, Moses himself showed in the story of about the bush, where he speaks of the Lord as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Now he is God, not of the dead, but of the living, for to him all of them are alive. The gospel of the Lord. May be seated. All Saints Day presents an opportunity for us all to remember loved ones. Certainly the church focuses on those who have died this past year. Both members of this congregation and those this congregation has known and loved. In the liturgy today, the church calls to mind those who have taught by word and by action how to live faithfully. Frankly, this past year has been rough. A year ago, we were praying a litany remembering the hundreds of thousands of people who had died from COVID-19. Over the past year, many loved ones who have populated the prayers of this congregation literally for years have entered into the promise of the resurrection. We have prayed for family and friends of people who died by murder, by cancer, by so many other causes. Leaders of both the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America and the Central State Synod have invited the church to lament these losses. In addition, the church laments the rough transition beyond COVID restrictions, laments political strife, laments threats and actual violence fomented by political rhetoric and political polarization. We lament the rise of white Christian nationalism and all the idolatries that it represents. So much weighs on the church. Now, later in the service, we will lift up the names of all those who have died, both members of St. Andrew's and those we have known. Remembering affords us the opportunity to acknowledge those whose lives come near in lived memory. Whether the grief is raw or whether it cycles around, catching us off guard, these ones come to the fore, begging our attention. On this All Saints Sunday, the gospel reading moves beyond Jesus' journey to Jerusalem, which we have been on for many months. You see, in the meantime, between last week's reading, where Jesus invites himself to stay with a sinner named Zacchaeus, and today's challenge from those Sadducees, Jesus has entered Jerusalem on a donkey. He declares by his action that the reign of God is very different from the reign of Caesar. Caesar's rulers, represented by Pontius Pilate, impress their power and authority with war horses and shows of might. This is the peace of Caesar. The reign of God ushers in peace grounded in right relationship, in justice, in humility, in forgiveness, and in grace. As Jesus enters into Jerusalem that last time, the closest sparring partners for Jesus are those Sadducees and other religious leaders. Now, those leaders want to maintain the peace that they have brokered with Rome through complicity. And today, those leaders then want to trip Jesus up. The author of Luke's gospel makes sure that all who hear know that those Sadducees do not believe in the resurrection. And yet, they ask resurrection questions. Yet again, Jesus responds by redefining the question. Too often, humanity wants to pin down the details of heaven, of what is beyond the gate of death. The bigger question Jesus asserts is the nature of God. God is not a God of the dead. No, God is God of the living. And Jesus evokes Moses. Moses at the burning bush, where Moses identifies God as the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, the God of Isaac. And just as these forebears in faith live in God, so too do all who have died. These are big promises. So hear again what Jesus says to those who have gathered around and those who are challenging him. Indeed, they cannot die anymore because they are like angels and are children of God, being children of the resurrection. And then he goes on to say, now God is God, not of the dead, but of the living. For to God, all of them are alive. Today, we remember loved ones who have died this past year and those who have gone before that. We cling to the hope and the promise that God is indeed God of the living. Now, in this season of stewardship, let us hear from our congregation council.
In these past weeks, we've been focusing on what the readings have to say to us about the characteristics of the steward.
We focused on the blessings that God has entrusted to us, creation, ourselves, our neighbors, our time, our talents, our possessions, the ministry of God's church. And our responsibility as stewards for these gifts is profound, so profound that it can leave us timid or unsure about how we should respond. This week's scripture reminds us to appreciate the role that prayer plays in helping to guide our decisions as stewards. The psalmist says, God, I call upon you, for you will answer me. The psalmist reminds us that we should call on God in prayer because God is faithful. God will listen to us. God wants us to offer thanks for our blessings. God wants us to offer pleas for help in our suffering. God wants us to offer prayers for justice. And if we are unsure how God is calling us to respond, God wants us to ask for guidance in prayer. But the readings also remind us that when we come to God in prayer, we must be ready to listen for God's voice. You see, prayer is not a conversation that we control. In Luke's gospel, the Sadducees engage Jesus in talking, but not in actual dialogue. They wanted to trick Jesus. They wanted to have their own beliefs confirmed. They were not prepared to listen and hear God's voice. The conversation wasn't really prayer. By contrast, the first lesson gives us the example of Job, hurt, angry, devastated at losing his family, his possessions, and his health. When God came to Job in prayer, and the entire book is a very long prayer, despite his anger, he was able to listen for and ultimately hear the voice of God and could acknowledge God's wisdom and justice even in the midst of all of his travails. It's only when we approach prayer with humility and a listening heart that we can appreciate God's voice and hear how God is calling us. Finally, in today's second lesson, Paul reminds us that we must pray for each other. It's easy for us to do this collectively when we gather each week in worship. But it can be hard sometimes amongst the cares and voices of the outside world that distract us for us to do this constantly. And Paul reminds the church in Thessalonica that they must pray constantly for each other without ceasing. Many years ago, our St. Andrew's prayer ministry organized a prayer partners program in which members of the congregation were paired with each other as prayer partners. My partner was Greg Perot. Many of you may remember Greg and his wife and their lovely daughters who have now moved on from our congregation. But Greg and I would speak to each other regularly to learn what was going on in each other's lives, how we might pray for each other, how we were struggling as parents. It helped our prayer discipline. It made us accountable to each other. And it's a discipline and a connection that I've missed during the time that Greg and his family have moved away from Columbia. And it's one that I need to renew again. Next Sunday, as part of our stewardship campaign, you'll find in your mailbox a time and talent sheet that will invite you to identify how you're willing to share of your time and your talents in the ministry of St. Andrew's. And I hope that you'll join me and identify in that way your willingness to be a prayer partner for someone else in this congregation, so that, in the words of Paul, we might encourage and strengthen each other in every good work and word.
Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.